Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time I see the sunrise or a mountain so high, just by seeing is believing, the king of rock and roll begins. When I see a mighty ocean that rushes to the shore, if I ever had cause to doubt him, I don't doubt him anymore, Elvis continues with his gospel ballad. But I'm sorry, Mr. Presley, that's not quite right. And I know this because of our gospel passage today. At Jesus' direction, the 11 disciples had gathered on a mountain. Our Lord does some of his best work on mountains, so when you're on the mountain with God, you know it's going to be good. And boy, was that ever the case for the 11 that day on that mountain in Galilee. They had no doubt Jesus had been crucified and died. They had no doubt his body had been placed in a tomb. Yet, as they lay in the dust, worshiping the resurrected Christ whom they now saw, the one now standing before them in plain sight with holes in his hands and feet and a spear-sized hole in his side, some doubted. Some doubted, Matthew tells us. And so we can only conclude Elvis is wrong. When it comes to God, seeing is not always believing. Now, the Greek word for doubt means to have different opinions about something. Today, we call it my truth, which might be different than your truth, because everybody has a truth, right? And so what Matthew is telling us is that as the disciples experienced the resurrected Christ, they had different opinions about what was happening right before their eyes. Why? Well, it's because Jesus wasn't speaking. He hadn't said a word to them. And that's what happens when a person encounters God, but God is not speaking to him or her. Indeed, the experience of God going quiet is bound to make one a theologian, that is, a person with opinions about God. But the zipped-lipped God seems to make one a bad theologian, that is, a theologian who tries to peer behind the veil and fill in the blanks about what God must be doing. And the theological opinions that result are generally disastrous. Here's what I mean. When a person cranks up the radio and looks with Elvis at a sunrise, a mountain, or a mighty ocean, there is no doubt that each is a mighty sight to behold. That's why we vacation there. But what is one to conclude about God when looking at and listening to God's creation? And right there is where the doubts, the different opinions about God, the bad theology begins. Some are of the opinion that the warmth of a sunrise is proof that God is wrapping them in his loving embrace. For others, nursing scorched crops in a drought-stricken field, another sunrise creates the opinion that God isn't loving at all and perhaps even mad at them. Some look at a giant mountain and form the opinion that God is steadfast and strong and worthy of worship. Others look at a mountain and form the opinion that God is steadfast and strong, all right, as ash and lava rock rain down on them, destroying life as they know it, and they conclude that God is steadfast and strong in his persecution of them. Some stare at the ocean's horizon and form the opinion that God is awesome. In 2005, I stared at the ocean washing closer and closer to New Orleans, the city where I lived and worked, until the horizon was filled with flooded homes and flooded high-rises. And I formed the opinion that it's kind of hard to tell the difference between God and the devil. We could go on endlessly with examples of the God of the masks, as Luther was fond of saying. But my point is this. When God doesn't speak specifically to us, certainty about his love and mercy for us is fleeting at best. And so our opinions about who he is and what he's up to abound. And you know what they say about opinions. And as we've already heard, such is true even when God Almighty, incarnate no less, fresh back from the grave in hell, is standing before his disciples, but not speaking. But oh, what a mighty thing it is when Jesus speaks. What an awesome thing when God Almighty has a word that's for you. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Do you know what that means? It means that our opinions, wishes, hopes, dreams, and vain theologizing about God are dead. And Christ's word alone defines for certain sure who God is and what God has done for us. You see, our word for authority comes from the word author. And it is truly God who authors us. Books don't write themselves. Just as disciples of Jesus Christ aren't self-chosen, aren't self-made, or self-maintained. For just as the Holy Trinity, whose name is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, said, "Let there be light, and water, and fish, and creeping things, and trees, and animals, and people," and it happened, so it is for the ones Jesus directs and gathers. For God to speak is for God to do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So we come to the heart of the matter. What does the one who possesses all authority in heaven and on earth say to you? What is your story written by Jesus Christ? You'll never be alone. That's your story. You'll never be alone because Jesus Christ promises to be with you forever. That is what God says to you. But why is this not just one more opinion? And just how do you know for certain sure? The font. That's how. Out of all the twists and turns that are your life, out of all your comings and goings, out of all the places you have been and all the places you could have been, the Holy Trinity gathered you at the font where a disciple of Jesus Christ had been sent to meet you. And there at the font, doing the only thing of eternal significance disciples of Christ are commissioned to do, that disciple opened his or her big mouth and God spoke specifically to you. God spoke a tangible, historical, undeniable word of promise into the water washing over you that you are a child of God and disciple of Christ eternally. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Indeed, you are not alone in this world. You're not alone in your sin. Christ has taken it. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. That means your sin does not have the last word, and it is not your story. You're not alone in your dying. Christ has conquered death, and even now you live eternally. That means death does not have the last word, and it is not your story. You're not alone when the evil one accuses you and mocks you. Christ has made the devil's threats against you hollow. And that means the devil does not have the last word about you, and he does not write your story. It is true that when it comes to God, seeing is not always believing. But hearing his promise that is for you most certainly is. And of that, there can be no doubt. Amen.